turn to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. And we're going to have the Pew Bible page numbers on the wall. And this one is 977. Over the past few weeks, Pastor Dave has been going through our mission statement and core values. And he has emphasized the work that went into this, because putting this together was of great importance to us. We are a church that is in love with Christ. And we desire and we long for God to follow us, lead us. We don't want him to follow us. We are a church that is in love with Christ. And we do pray for God to lead us. More than that, though, much more than that, the elders of the church pray and long for and desire that we follow God. Our mission statement and core values are not the Word of God. But from His Word, we have summarized, and from His Word, we see that the purpose for everybody is to glorify God. Pastor talked about that about 3 weeks ago. And we see from His Word, the mission of His church is this. We exist to glorify God in our families, communities, and the world through lives being transformed by the power of the gospel of Christ. That is our mission statement. And then he preached through the first core values, the first two of four. And these are the truths. The core values are the truths and the realities of God that are foundational then to our mission statement and our ultimate purpose of glorifying God. Pastor Dave went through knowing and doing truth. And the second one he went through was fervent prayer. That was last week. And today we'll be looking at number three of our core values, community living in love. Before we begin, though, let me say this. All of these core values are tied together. You cannot know and do truth if you are not praying for God to reveal truth to you, empower you to do them. And you cannot pray without knowing about the truth of prayer. And so it is with community living in love. As a body of believers, we should be a community living in love. If you are fellowshipping in this God-ordained way, then you will know and understand truth deeper. If you are living in this God-ordained way, if you are living in a community living in love, you will be progressing in the truth. God has given us each other to grow together as a body. I have to tell you, this was hard. How do you bring any one of these core values to light in one message? And how do I then bring out community living in love in a two-hour message today? Never know. We have to dig deep and shoot for the key elements, the key truths. And by God's grace, He has led me to the truths to bring to you today. But get this. If you hear the words today and miss the reality, if you miss the reality of a community living in love, then this was a waste of time. If this is not real to you, if you are not experienced what we will be looking at today, please pursue after it with a passion and a purpose. And then talk to somebody. Talk to me or Pastor Dave or one of the deacons or one of the deaconesses or one of the elders. And we'll seek this together. Let's pray. Father, we are about to look at the amazing reality that you have given us each other. That in Christ we are united in the Holy Spirit, and that you have commanded us a goodness. You have commanded us to love each other just as Christ loved us. This is a hard truth, Father, to see. with the deception of the world screaming out different things about what love is. Father, I pray that the reality of the love, the standard you set for love, becomes our reality of love. I thank you for this time together now, Father, and I pray your Spirit empowers me to bring your message, and I pray your Spirit empowers those to hear it. I pray your Spirit opens ears, softens hearts, Father, enlightens us to the truth, Father, and that we may live it then. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I have a question for you today, and I know the answer for a couple Newlands in the crowd. What are you eager for today? What are you eager for? What is it that you are looking forward to with eagerness? Are you eager for the lunch that may be in your oven waiting for you? Are you eager for the NASCAR race? I think there's one this afternoon. Do you wait with eagerness for a baby to be born? Are you waiting with eagerness for a wedding coming up? Hopefully those are reversed. Are you eager for school to be done this year or for this sermon to be done? How about these? Are you eager to go back to work tomorrow morning? Are you eager for your next dentist visit or doctor's appointment? Are you eager to be filling up your car with $5 a gallon of gas this summer? Not really. I want you to put in your mind something right now that you are eager for. There's got to be something that you're anticipating, that you're eager to do. And I want you to remember what your mind is right now and what you're feeling when you think of what you're eager for. For me, I am eager to present this message from God to you. And this is what I want you to understand. Things that we are eager for are things we believe to be good. They are exciting to us. We are looking forward to them. They are good. In our prayer, in our life's pursuit, should be eagerness for the things of God. If we are God's children and our minds are set on Christ, then we will be eager for the things of God. It is good to be eager for the things of God. And today we'll look at one truth that God commands us to be eager for. Let's begin our passage and we'll set this up a little bit. Please follow along. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. This is Paul speaking here. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being. Paul is on his knees asking God to grant the Ephesians Holy Spirit power coming from the very depths of their inner beings for something. Watch what it is. Verse 17. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love. Here is the base strength Paul is appealing to God to grant them. Christ dwelling in our hearts by faith. Notice the foundation of the strength is love. We are rooted and grounded in love. And now watch as Paul clearly specifies what the ultimate purpose the strength is to be for. Verse 18. May have strength to comprehend with all of the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Paul prays that God grants them strength in their inner beings by the power of the Holy Spirit, that they would comprehend and know the love of Christ. And this is where we need to see the results of that understanding and knowledge. Look back at verse 19 with me. What happens when we comprehend and know the love of Christ? Verse 19. And to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, watch this now, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. To know the love of Christ is to be filled with all the fullness of God. So much could be taught on this passage, but for this message, there are a couple of points in this first part of the passage. First, we just saw it. The goal of comprehending and knowing Christ's love for us is to reach the fullness of God. Next, and pay attention to this. Our walks are individual walks with Jesus. We follow him. And also, our individual walk then is to be filled with the fullness of God. But look back at verse 17. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Watch the next two words now. That you. Here's the individuality of this passage. That you, each one of you. Watch as we continue now and pay attention in verse 18 for the togetherness. That you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have the strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth. The goal is to reach the fullness of God. We do it individually and we do it together. My walk with Christ is between me and God. It is not dependent on anyone except for Jesus. However, God gives us each other to grow. I am convinced through my study and through experience that the biblical pattern to reach maturity in Christ is by doing it together. If we want to grow in Christ, we must be in a community of love. He gives us each other, and he gifts us to serve one another to mature. Look down at chapter 4 and verse 11. Still in Ephesians. Chapter 4, verse 11. He gifts us with each other. Verse 11. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers. Now, wait a second here. Why did he gift the church with these? These gifts, and there's other gifts listed in other places in the Bible. Why did he gift the church? Verse 12. To equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to mature manhood. Watch this now. Here's our goal again. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And let's read the rest of this through verse 16. Why did Jesus give us gifts for the body? To mature our faith in Christ. But why? Verse 14. So that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body is joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped. When each part is working properly, makes the body grow up so that it builds itself up in love. We must all be part of the body, serving each other with what God has gifted us. We need to be firm in our faith so we won't be yo-yo Christians. Each part must be working together so the body grows. And when this is happening, the body is building itself up in love. I don't want this to be confusing to you, but I believe that you must see these are not my ideas. These are the very word of God. Here's what I want you to remember for now. The body must be working together. We must be using the gifts that God has given us for each other. And then number two, comprehending and knowing the love Christ has for us is the key to everything, both individually and corporately. Love is the key. Chapter 3, verse 17 tells us, love is where we are rooted and grounded. And then chapter 4, verse 16 tells us, the body is built up in love. This is why Paul is on his knees praying that individually and together we have the Holy Spirit's strength in our inner beings to comprehend and know the love of Christ. It's time to simplify. Simple yet powerful truths from our passage. We looked at the beginning of our passage and the end of our passage. Let's look in the middle of our passage. Let's go back to Paul as he finishes his prayer in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we can ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is over all, and through all, and in all. By grace was given to you each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Did I say let's simplify? There's a lot here. But here are the truths for today. Let's start with the ones. Let's see the unity. Look back at verses 5 and 6. One Lord, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. One faith, that's faith in Christ alone. One baptism, that's baptism of the Holy Spirit. One God and Father, and he embodies everything. Back to verse 4. There is one body and one Spirit. So here's what's going on. When our faith is in Christ and Christ alone, we are baptized by the Holy Spirit of God and indwelled by the Holy Spirit. We become the children of the living God, and he is now our Father. We become part of the body of Christ. We are one with Christ, one with the Father, one with the Holy Spirit, and one with each other. Because there is only one body and one Spirit. This is the unity, brothers and sisters. This is the body of Christ. Listen, this is the truth that separates us from all the other religions in the world. We are united together. We are united together by the Holy Spirit of God indwelling us. We are sealed and adopted children of the living God. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. We are his church. There is one Spirit. There is one body. If your faith is in Christ and you have his Spirit indwelling you, you are part of the body. That's as simple as it gets. If your faith is in Christ, you have his Spirit and you are part of the body. Okay, so we're members of the body. How are we supposed to walk? Look back at verse 1. Chapter 4, verse 1. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. We are to walk in a manner worthy of the calling of God. So then, what is being worthy? Verse 2. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Two ways we are to walk. Two ways God, through Paul, urges us to walk in a manner worthy of our calling. God urges us to walk in love, and God urges us to walk eagerly. Turn to 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. We're going to look at walking in love first. For manner, for how we are to walk in love, we could look back at our passage. However, that's just a taste. In our passage, we saw humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another. Those are very important. But we must love much deeper than that. And 1 John is going to help us look deeper. 1 John is a treasure chest of love truths. But I'll stay focused, I promise. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. And right away we'll see where love comes from. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. So where does love come from? Love comes from God. Is that dry to you? Does that mean anything? Love is from God. Tuck that away right now. We'll come back to that. Remember when I said comprehending and knowing Christ's love for us is the key? Well, here are two reasons for now. Why is comprehending and knowing the love Christ has for us the key to walking in love? We need to comprehend and know the love that Christ has for us, because we are to love each other the same way Christ loved us. Let's continue in our passage in 1 John, back in verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. If God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Move up to chapter 3, verse 16. I'm telling you, we need to know and comprehend the love that Christ has for us, because that is how we are to love one another. 1 John 3:16. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. Brothers and sisters, just as his love for us was not in word or talk, but in deed and truth, so must our love be active. Just as he laid down his life for us, we ought to be laying down our lives for our brothers and sisters in Christ. Our love is to be sacrificial because his love was sacrificial. After Jesus washed the feet of his disciples, he gave a new commandment on love. This is the Gospel of John 13:34. Jesus says this: "A new commandment I give to you, that you are to love one another just as I have loved you. You are also to love one another." We need to comprehend and know the love Christ has for us, because as he loved us, that's how we are to love each other. The second reason we need to know and comprehend how much Christ loved us is because his love for us is our motivation to love. Back in 1 John chapter 3, let's pick it up in verse 16. And watch for our motivation in verse 19 to love. 1 John 4:16. "So we have come to know and believe the love that God has for us." Now stop there a second. You see what I've been saying? Here's John saying, now we have come to know it and to believe the love that God has for us. That is important. Back to it. I'm sorry. "So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us." If you want motive, there it is. We love because he first loved us. We love God because he first loved us. And we love each other because God first loved us. Comprehending and knowing the depth of the love Christ has for us, growing in that understanding and knowledge and believing it, deepens our motivation to love God back. And it deepens our motivation to love each other as he has loved us. We love because he first loved us. Okay, one more part of love and then we'll move on. Turn to Romans chapter 5. We won't be long there, but I need you to see this for yourselves. Where does love come from? Love comes from God. Remember back towards the beginning of the passage, and we talked about one Spirit and being indwelled by the Holy Spirit of God, and we are united in the Holy Spirit? Well, let's look at this passage together. This passage is about suffering. The context is about suffering, but I want you to see the truth of verse 5. Romans chapter 5, we'll start in verse 3. "Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that the suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." God's love has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Love comes from God. Brothers and sisters, we really need to get this. We really need to know and understand and believe this. Paul is on his knees crying for the Ephesians to comprehend and know the unknowable love of Christ. Because the deeper our love for Christ, the deeper we will love each other. We are to love each other the way Christ loved us. We are to lay down our lives for each other. "Yeah, but I can't bear others' burdens." Christ bore your burdens. "Yeah, but I can't speak the truth in love." Christ is speaking the truth in love to you right now. Yeah, but I can't humble myself this way. Christ humbled himself all the way to death on a cross. But I can't love this way. Christ died for you. But I can't do this. Yes, you can. The Holy Spirit of God is in you. I can't do this. Yes, you can. By grace, through faith, trust God and pursue after loving this way. We need to wake up. We need to hear the truth. We need to deny ourselves and walk in love. We need to wake up and we need to hear the truth. We need to deny ourselves and walk in a manner that is worthy to our calling. God commands it. God urges us to walk in love with everyone, but especially those in the household of faith, your brothers and sisters in Christ. We are to love each other with the love that God has given to us to love each other with. We are to love each other with the love God has given to us to love each other with. Let's go back to our passage in Ephesians and chase down one more truth. God shows us two ways to walk. Two ways God, through Paul, urges us to walk that are in a manner worthy of our calling. God urges us to walk in love. And we just looked at that. Look back at chapter 4, verse 3 for the other manner. Ephesians 4, starting in verse 3. Just one quick part here. Eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Eager. We are to be walking eagerly. Remember back at the beginning I asked you, what are you eager to do? Are you eager to maintain unity in the Spirit and the bond of peace? Honestly, are we as a body of believers eager to maintain unity in the Spirit and the bond of peace? God, help us. And through his word, he speaks to us. There are three ways I see in his word to help us to be eager. And the first way is it falls back on the goodness of God. This falls back on the goodness of God. Listen, you cannot conjure up eagerness, right? I mean, if I counted the three and then on three, we're going to be eager. One, two, three, be eager. Nobody's going to be eager. We can't conjure it up. This falls back to the goodness of God. We must have faith in what he tells us to do. We must experience the peace of unity in order to be eager to maintain it, right? That's logical. Look back at verse 2 and 3 of Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, starting in verse 2. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. It is no accident that we are to be bearing in love with one another, and it's before eagerness. We must be doing this in order to have unity. We must be bearing each other up in love in order to have unity. Eagerness to maintain that unity then would follow. You cannot maintain something you don't have, and you certainly can't be eager about it. Let's look at this another way. Unity of the Spirit. Unity of the Spirit is everyone following the leading of the Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit that empowers us to love, and it is the Holy Spirit that empowers us to do everything spiritual. Turn to Galatians chapter 5, and we'll look at this. Pastor Dave is going to preach through the book of Galatians next after we do the core values, and I'm very excited about that. This is a rich book. Well, they all are, but Galatians 5, starting in verse 13. This is Paul speaking again. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. Now watch for the desires coming up here and what's going on. Verse 16. But I say, walk in the Spirit, that you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. What is it we want to do? If we are born again and the Holy Spirit indwells us, then in the deepest part of our inner beings, we want to follow God. But our flesh has desires too, and those two desires are against each other. So if we are not eager to maintain unity, we are not walking in the Spirit, but instead we are gratifying the desires of our flesh. Listen, if you aren't walking in the Spirit, why not? Is pride in the way? Is the busyness of worldly pursuit holding you back? Is it lack of motivation and laziness? Is it disbelief in God and His Word? If you are not experiencing some eagerness within you to maintain the unity of the Spirit, then you really need to check your heart. Because your heart is either hardened by disobedience and you need to repent, or your heart is dead in sin and you've never been saved. In either case, you are not in a hopeless state. Faith in Christ is the answer. Believe in what He did on the cross for you and be saved and be indwelled by the Holy Spirit. Okay, onward in our passage. Watch closely to what happens if we are Spirit-led and loving one another. Verse 18. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Okay, I said I was going to give you simple yet deep truths. Let me try to put this together for you. If we are following the Spirit, well, let me say this. God urges us to walk in a manner worthy of His calling, to walk in love, to follow the Spirit. If we are following the Spirit, look back at the fruits in 22 and 23. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That is the definition of unity of the Spirit. If you have not tasted the reality of these fruits, then I don't see how you could be eager. On the other hand, when you experience these fruits, when you taste them, you will want more. Three ways I see His Word to help us to be eager. first falls back to the goodness of God. It is good to be unified. Do you desire love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control? If you desire these things, then you will be eager to maintain unity in the Spirit. Number two, the second way I see in His Word to help us be eager is that God our Father is pleased when we love each other. Turn back to Ephesians, and this time go to the end of chapter 4. It's time to take the focus off of us and put it on God where it belongs. In this passage, Paul is telling us not to walk with hard hearts. He is telling us to put off our old selves and to renew in the spirit of our minds, and how to live and not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Well, let's start in verse 30. Ephesians 4, chapter 4, verse 30. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Be imitators of God as beloved children. Walk in love as Christ loved us. Notice then the last section, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Now it is Christ's actions that are the sacrifice and the fragrant. But we are to be imitators of God. And I got to tell you that I believe that this sacrifice of loving each other the way God loved us is also our sacrifice to God and a fragrant offering. A fragrant offering to God. It smells good to God when we are loving sacrificially for each other. Like a fragrance of a food cooking, like bacon frying in a pan, or a turkey in the oven, or your favorite smell of a flower, a homegrown rose, or a spring lilac. Or like in the fall when you go outside and you take that breath of crisp, fresh air. It smells good to our God when we walk in love. It smells good to our God who created us. It smells good to our God who is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Our God who gave us everything, who gave us His Son. It smells good to our God who is our Father. Don't you just want to give back to Him? Don't you just want to please your Father? We should be eager to please our Father. We should be eager to love one another. We should be eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit. It smells good to God. Three ways I see in His Word to help us be eager. First, it falls back to the goodness of God. It is good to be united. Second, God our Father is pleased when we love each other. The third way I see in His Word to help us be eager is the world knows we belong to God and He is glorified. Before we look at that third reason and end, though, I wonder, where is my heart? Where is your heart? Is it caught up in the deception and the darkness of this world, or is it caught up in the love and the life of Christ? Is it caught up in sports or television or electronics? Is it caught up in food or hobbies or busyness? How about worry or depression or anxiety? Or is it caught up in the love of God we have in Christ? Is it caught up in loving each other as Christ loved us which is true love. God gave us each other, brothers and sisters. God wants us and wills us to be loving Him and loving each other. So how? How do we get there? How do we become eager? First and foremost, ask Him for it. Pray to Him. If you long to be eager, then sincerely cry out to God and tell Him, Father, I long to be there. I long to be eager. If you don't have a desire in you to be eager, ask Him for one. And be honest with Him. Father, I hear Your word, and I know this is where I'm supposed to be, but I'm not there. Help me. Listen, if you, brothers and sisters, this is important. If you are a believer in Christ, the Holy Spirit is in you. And if the Holy Spirit is in you, then the desire is in you as well. So pray for God to soften your heart and stir up that desire. So pray and then act. Be in His word. Be being taught about the love of Christ and about Christ. And then be with God's people. You must be with God's people. Find someone to be with. Grow in your bond that God gives us in the Spirit. And when you're with people, speak of God. Talk about the goodness and love of God. God has given us, He has gifted us each other, and we need to be with each other. Okay, turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 17, and we'll finish up. While you are getting there, let me read the last part of our core value, number 3. And the title of the core value is Community, Living in Love. This is the last part of that. This is not the Word of God. A church that does not live in a loving community with their faith family is neither experiencing nor expressing the heart of God in His love and care. It has lost its saltiness. We do not want to be an unsalty church. This passage you were going to look at now is Jesus praying to the Father just before He was betrayed. This is God praying to God. Do you think it was answered? John 17, starting in verse 20. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in Me through their word. That is us, brothers and sisters. We have believed through the word. Verse 21. That they may all be one, just as You, Father, are in Me, and I in You, that they also must be in Us, so that the world may believe that You have sent Me. The glory that You have given Me, I have given to them, that they may be one as We are one, I in them and You in Me, and they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that You sent Me, and the world may know that You loved them even as You loved Me. Father, I desire that they also, whom You have given Me, may be with Me where I am. I see the glory that You have given Me because You loved Me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, even though the world does not know You, I know You, and these know that You have sent Me. I made known to them Your name, and I will continue to make it known, that the love with which You have loved Me may be in them, and I in them. When our hearts are knit together in love, when we are one with God and one with each other, that's when the world knows that God sent Jesus. That's when the world knows and believes that God sent Jesus. When we are one with God and one with each other, that's when the world knows that God loves us just as he loved his Son. Are you eager? Are you eager? Do you want God to know how much that he loves you? Do you want the world to know that God sent Jesus? I want God to be glorified. I want the world to know how much Christ loves me. If we comprehend and know the love Christ has for us, we will be eager for God to be glorified in us and in his church. Let's pray together. Father, we bow our hearts before you, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of your glory, you may grant us to be strengthened with power through your Spirit in our inner beings, so that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith, that we, being rooted and grounded in love, may have the strength to comprehend with all of the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that we may be filled with all the fullness of you. Now to you, who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we can ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to you be glory in Country Bible Church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.